and welcome to America Trends. Glad to have you with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Get right to the trending topics. It is the Oscar Awards from the other night and politics. It would be so nice if actors would keep them out of the Oscars, right? Yeah, you might think so. Well, people were talking about it, too. This is what a lot of people, this is why so many don't even tune in. And right here, there's controversy. Spike Lee and others are ticked because Green Book won for Best Picture. He threw a little bit of a hissy fit, like he got up, went to the back of the hall and turned his back. It was just so weird. And then Glenn Close got beaten for Best Actress by Olivia Colman, darling British actress. Just so nice, and they all sort of got along, and she thanked Glenn for being her hero as she was coming up, that Olivia did. But the biggest winners from the other night, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper with their passionate performance of the song From a Star is Born. Now, look, when they came back after going off stage, they came back to the audience. The audience, all those stars, gave them a standing ovation off camera. That was sort of neat. So anyway, here's Shallow, which won for Best Song. Listen.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself. I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never leave the ground, crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now. In the shallow.
Back to America Trends. Chicago police say they now have even more evidence that actor Jussie Smollett staged a fake crime against himself. Apparently, the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who famously gave that really powerful press conference last week, claiming his disappointment in Smollett. He said there's a slew of evidence that the Empire Star staged that hate crime, and he talked to Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, and it goes on and on. He said, of course, there is a presumption of innocence, of course, because we have due process here in the United States of America, right? We are joined now by Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health. That's mainstreammentalhealth.org. And he's, you know, been looking into this, and you know, we often have Dr. Huber on, and we talk about things like groupthink, rush to judgment, social media, confirmation bias, all these things. And also, we're going to chat. Hi, Dr. Huber. How are you?
I'm doing great, Amy. How are you
today? Good. And also, we'll ask, you know, what does it seem like? People are saying Jesse Smollett should be on suicide watch, and is he on drugs, and this is why he's doing it. And, of course, you can't say what's going on with someone you haven't talked to in person.
And diagnosed, right.
Right. But it is something you do speak on. So this goes back to, of course, that January 29th incident where he said he was attacked by two white dudes in MAGA hats that said, this is MAGA country. 2 a.m. Chicago morning during the polar vortex. They didn't take his wallet. So apparently from the start, law enforcement thought the whole episode stunk to high heaven.
Well, you know, there's lots of reasons for that. One of them, they sat there and they know that crime is opportunistic. People want the weather to be nice. They want the targets to be fresh and not able to defend themselves. And it was really interesting. He got this hate letter sent to him directly to, like, share with the authorities that they were going to attack somebody randomly, yet they randomly attacked him when he ran out at 2 o'clock in the morning in 20 degree below zero weather during the polar vortex. And they just happened to be hiding outside the sandwich shop he was at 2 a.m. With a noose and a rope. And it just doesn't make sense. You know, criminals don't send a letter to the bank the night before they rob them.
Just happened to recognize this actor who's not so well known. So it all is just sort of precious, right? But, you know, we do have, you could say, the media absolutely complicit in things like this, let alone social media. You know, civilians, they'll sound off, and we actually all need to do better by that. But trained journalists who just went on and said, and you would think so many of these programs were talk and opinion when they're really supposed to be news, and they say how sad it is, and this is Trump's America, and it's alarming, isn't it, in this day and age?
It is really alarming. And part of the reason why is we expect, like you said, our news media to be people who broadcast the news. They don't make the news. Unfortunately, we have moved from really a 24-hour news cycle to a 10 to 15-minute news cycle with social media and all the apps online. And they want click-throughs. They want that attention because that's how they sell advertising. That keeps their doors open. Mm-hmm. So they are constantly the first bit of information that looks like it's traumatic for this country. It's going to get people to look. They post it. That's the headline. And a lot of times they don't, you know, I've seen news releases that had two sentences for the body of the text. It basically repeated the
yes,
headline.
Exactly.
And then when they do put the story, nobody reads it. They don't have time to read it. They look at the headline and another one pops up on another channel.
They just have time to get aggravated enough to tweet and retweet. But aside from the media trying to sell advertising, this is a We Hate Trump media. There is no doubt about it. And you just had, for instance, last week, Lara Logan, a former CBS correspondent, used to be on 60 Minutes. She famously came out and said, you know, I stepped away and I saw that there is so much going on. We are so used to watching the news having a certain bent that we don't recognize it's happening. And she pointed out that 85% of the media registered Democrats, which I don't know exactly where she got her stat, but that's so in line with what we hear and see and know and the kind of coverage we get. So you have the media that's complicit because they're anti-Trump, I think without even the advertising. I think you have Don Lemon on CNN or other people. They don't really care about click-throughs. They want to stick it to Trump.
Absolutely. There is that component there, and it's built in. And, you know, it's rewarded in that industry. If you stand up and actually make the president look like he's actually doing something good and righteous, man, you're not on the air next week. It's pretty crazy. We've seen it before. And they get rewarded for even creating fallacy and moving on. We can go back to previous presidents where people presented documents that they claimed were, you know, pre-1980, before we had laser printers, but, you know, the document was dated in the 70s, but it was printed out on a laser printer, and it can't possibly have happened. So it's really crazy. I mean, I know you know who I'm talking about. But.
Right. But what you say so right is what you say about social media is so right, too, because we all, without even reading it, we have this thing called virtue signaling where we say, oh, I'm going to show my friends how outraged I am by this. And so Exactly. We get mad and we yell. And why do we have to do that?
Well, what happens is, you know, you mentioned groupthink at the beginning. We've created these virtual groups because we have thinned out our social media apps that only pay attention to the people that think like us. And we think everybody around us is thinking exactly like us. You're walking down the street and you see your friends posting on Facebook or on Snapchat or whatever, and you think everybody walking down the street with you has the exact same point of view you do, because we've created this virtual group that goes with us everywhere we go. Unfortunately, the groups have other dynamics, and one of them is who's the group leader and how does the dynamics work. And that is that the one who comes out with the idea first is the first person to go, and then how big of an attention draw they can get from the group. So they, man, the minute one of your friends on that group starts posting, you're right there with them because you want to have a bigger, better post. And it becomes this vicious cycle that just feeds off of itself. And at the same time, you may only know what those, you know, 35 or 40 or 200 or 2000 friends think, not what the whole rest of the world thinks. You also fall into that mechanism, though, where you're only using your emotional centers and you're no longer thinking rationally. That's why I think a lot of the red flags were totally missed by the media. When we saw Jesse Smollett, you know, and the reports, it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. This isn't how criminals work. This isn't how crimes like this are done. You know, if it was really, truly a hate crime, they would have taken his wallet. They would have taken his money. They would have made it. Yes.
I'm so sorry. I have 20 seconds. I wanted to ask you real quick. Do you think he's on drugs, crying for attention? What's the deal with Jesse Smollett?
I think he has a personality issue based on the behaviors we've seen before and after his arrest. I haven't done an assessment, but there's some narcissist issues going on in there.
Sounds accurate. We appreciate it. Dr. Huber, mainstreammentalhealth.org. Sorry about we being short on time. See you next time. It is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and we are talking today to Dr. Vicki Peterson, who, going on all week, and pretty important that we pay attention to this, talking to Dr. Peterson, because, you know, this may be something that we've outgrown as adults, if this was something that affected us or the people around us, but there are always people coming up with body issues, and why wouldn't there be? There's Hollywood, the things that are presented in the media, and it's just hard to know how to be anymore. And then everything's supersized, too. It's a little confusing. Dr. Peterson, welcome back to America Trends.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Me too. And you're with rootcausemedical.com, and you're in Northern California. People can visit you. You're a boutique agency. They can write you, fly in, or come see you. So I want to make sure we get that in. They can follow you on Twitter. But Root Cause Medical Clinic, nice spiffy website. Got a lot of services there and a store. Free consultation if you call Dr. Vicki. So doctor, you know, back in the day we heard about anorexia nervosa, bulimia. It seemed like, well, you know what? Was it really in the 70s when Karen Carpenter, famously of the Carpenters, died from it, and it became so noticed and talked about and addressed. Right. And do we still address it as much?
You know, that's a really good question. We see it a fair bit here at the clinic. I think it's something that it obviously has a psychological component for many, and that's not what I deal with. But the physical component, I think you're right. We don't see it as much because I think it's more the psychological component is where most people go. But what I'd like to talk about today is what I've seen from the physical, which is very interesting. And that is that people can have food sensitivities, food reactions, and one of the ways it can manifest is that they're unsatisfied by eating. So I was it's so interesting because I just had a brand new patient. She's in her late 30s. She was a childhood actress, so interesting that you bring that up. She's been bulimic for close to 20 years. Oh. And what happened was we found that she was sensitive to gluten. It's a common food sensitivity. And all of that desire went away, meaning that feeling of, I can't eat enough, like I start and I can't stop. It was really gluten driven. Wow. So gluten, wheat, rye, and barley, whether it was bread or pasta or cakes or cookies, you know, it's manifest in so many different foods that we eat. But for her, it was that trigger of, I cannot stop. And then, of course, she's an actress and she feels guilty. So she turned to the bulimia aspect of it to then purge. But when we got the gluten straightened out, she just reached out for a different reason. But this was something we did with her probably 5 years ago. And she said that was the end of it for me when I handled that food sensitivity. So from that, you know, can't stop, we've really seen a strong association with the bulimia. And then the anorexia, what we've seen is just a gut that's very inflamed. So a digestive tract that's very inflamed. And what happens is that people actually feel better not eating, which of course is a short-term solution.
Yeah.
But we run across that a lot with whether anorexia or just somebody who's just eating hardly anything, because they're so uncomfortable and they're so distressed when they eat that it becomes a bit of a habit. A woman came in the other day and she goes, it's become a habit to not eat because I feel so much better when I don't. And so that can sort of perpetuate. The third aspect I wanted to talk about was hormones. And if you've ever been a woman, especially with PMS and that craving of, you know, sweet, 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 and then salt, 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 and then back to the sweet. And, you know, and sometimes it pendulums back and forth, or sometimes people just stick with the sweet end of the spectrum or the salty end of the spectrum. The hormonal imbalance, the food can become a comfort when your hormones are askew. So I've seen women get into the bulimia again aspect of things because of a hormonal imbalance.
Well, this is why I love that you get to the root cause of things, because you pay attention to those nutrients, how they affect us, how they can improve our, they can improve our energy, fuel us, help our moods and our functions. And it just makes me wonder, I'm sure everybody's different, so you have to calibrate them for their bodies.
Yeah.
But do you also help them, you mentioned women on their cycles, do you also help them sort of try to regulate those hormones ahead of time so things are a little more regulated in the first place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So getting, it's so interesting with hormones, because sometimes too much is put on the, just put on, you know, put you on a birth control pill. Oh, you have heavy periods or you have terrible PMS, so we just put you on synthetic hormones that mask it all. But then these women get off the pill and they're so much worse, and a lot of times they have bad side effects on it. So instead of just focusing on the hormones, we focus on the root cause of what generates the hormones. So again, you're back to the nutrition, but not just what you're putting in your mouth, but is your digestive tract absorbing what you're putting in your mouth? And are you able to detoxify looking at the liver? So you want to see the underlying of this and get to that root. Adrenal health, you know, your adrenals are your stress gland, and they have a lovely way of shunting away from making hormones just to make more adrenaline and get you through your day, which is a great survival response, but not so good when you're on the end of that hormonal imbalance. So finding out why they're taxed and stressed so they can do both, make adrenaline, give you good energy, and have hormonal imbalance, that's what it's all about when you're getting to the root of the matter.
And I'm sure people should contact you and again, get an individual diagnosis, help, a plan that's germane to them.
Yeah.
But is there anything...
That's where the personalized medicine comes
sure,
in, absolutely.
Sure. But is there something you can tell our audience on the whole where it might be a good start on how to get the right nutrition in our foods?
Yeah, I think if you really, regardless of the experts, at least in my field of functional medicine, we're all pretty agreed upon the fact that a strong plant-based diet is a very good place to start, meaning you're really getting those 9 servings of fruits and vegetables, and you're getting some beans and legumes and nuts in their whole form, as long as you don't have any allergies, and maybe fish a couple of times a week. And that's a pretty strong plant-based diet. But unfortunately, there's so many hormones in our meats and exogenous hormones in our environment. And we can't avoid the environment, but we can avoid what we're putting in our mouths. So the dairy products are loaded with them, and the meat, the beef, the chicken. So strong plant-based, clean fish is a really good place to start. Lots of water, stay hydrated. It's a huge one. So many Americans are dehydrated. So those 8 ounces of 8 glasses of purified water is a great place to start too, and move the body. It needs to exercise.
Yeah, you probably can't say, well, that too, the exercise, but the water, you probably can't say that enough to people.
No. Americans have a terrible habit of being dehydrated, and it's something we push on all the time. And when they finally get to the place where, oh, I like it, you go, oh, good, we did it. We got over that hurdle.
Dr. Vicky, so where can people get help if they think they might have an eating disorder, want to talk to somebody? Do you have somewhere they can contact
going to recommend? Yeah, I mean, definitely reach out to us from the physical component. And then, you know, quite frankly, that mental emotional component can have a physical base. So more than happy to do just a free consultation over the phone, regardless of where you live. So contact us via the website rootcausemedical.com or give us a call 408-733-0400. I love to help, and the tools are there. It's not hard.
So great. She's also on Facebook and Twitter. And Dr. Vicky, I also have to mention, I loved in recent days you came on and talked about fatigue and trying to remedy that with your Root Cause Medical Clinic. So we appreciate all you're doing, and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
Okay. We spent the day.
Welcome back to America Trends, Trending Politics. President Trump heading to Vietnam for a summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un, his second one with him. And China trade deals, all kinds of things trending, the Green Deal. So we have we love to have Tom DelBaccaro on. He is the author of The Divided Era. That's the latest of his few best-selling books. And he's also he's a contributor with Fox Business, Forbes, and he's the purveyor of Political Vanguard. That's politicalvanguard.com. Used to be the head of the Republican Party in California. And Tom, I saw from following you on social media, there was a big weekend for GOP politics in California, and there's a new leader?
Yes, there is. They elected a new chairperson. She's the first ever woman elected to California chairmanship for the Republican Party, and a whole new board, including a vice presidential candidate who is an immigrant from Taiwan, who's basically lived the American dream. So it was an exciting weekend.
Will California ever, ever, ever go back to being something will it ever go back to any kind of GOP territory besides some of the military in Southern California and Orange County?
Well, keep in mind that for years, Wisconsin and Michigan, people thought Republicans could never get elected in, and even Pennsylvania, and they did. There's a formula for doing it, and let's hope that the new chair of the party takes a look at those states and sees how the Republican parties there made such a big comeback.
So you write about all things political, and you contribute to Fox Business and Forbes. What's on your radar right now? What's worth talking about?
Well, it's interesting you brought up that President Trump has gone abroad. And, of course, the upcoming election, independents are going to be really important. They grow more important all the time, because with the party so far apart and division so far apart, meaning the divide being so large, it's important to go after those independents. And Trump's done well on the economy, but that doesn't necessarily translate into they like him as a person. So at this moment, foreign policy offers an opportunity for President Trump to increase his likability factor. He will be abroad talking to two adversaries, at least, they'll have some connection with China while they're there and trade talks are going on. But of course, the main objective in the stories will be about being in Vietnam, a place where we used to have troops and were conducting a war. And North Korea, of course, will be there to talk about their future. By his actions abroad, Trump will demonstrate that he, like at the Singapore summit, is not that bad. It's pretty good being abroad and projecting images, which is the opposite, of course, of what the Democrats like to project. They say Trump's out of control and we should apply the 25th Amendment. So as Trump does this abroad, and he tends to be a cheerleader abroad on these trips, he doesn't tend to publicly go after regardless of who he meets abroad, that is a good opportunity for him to show the American people that he's doing well, that things are doing well, and it should entice independents. It won't win over many Democrats, but it will entice independents to vote Republican in 2020.
Be interesting. 2020 is next year. Do we get that? It's just, it's so close. Trump tweeting today, China trade deal and more in advanced stages. Relationship between our two countries very strong. I have therefore agreed to delay U.S. tariff hikes. Let's see what happens. His famous final words. Let's see what happens. So that a little bit of that, too.
That was to be expected, by the way. The China trade deal is enormously complicated. This is not, you know, the exchange of prisoners, or it isn't just one issue. There are multifaceted issues, and it will take a long time. In fact, you'll never resolve all of them. Just some of them you can work on. And I expect Trump to get a little bit of concessions here and there and eventually have a deal within the next 6 months. And yes, that means that there's this threat of future tariffs, but I expect that to go away eventually. And so delaying this is just, we're still continuing to work on it. And it's good for the markets. It's good for everybody if they do succeed.
What is going on with this Green Deal? It's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a new congresswoman from New York, obviously, who always has a lot to say. And the media loves to give her the spotlight. But I was sort of ignoring it, thinking, but people are paying attention to this because they really do think the world's going to end, the earth is just going to go away. And Ocasio-Cortez herself said, if we don't start sustaining ourselves, we're going to be done in 12 years anyway. So did she get into a tiff with Feinstein over the weekend, did I hear?
Yeah. Well, if you remember at the in November of last year on your show, I talked about that Nancy Pelosi will have the hardest job in politics.
Yeah.
Because not only does she have to be speaker, but she has to handle all the statements made by the presidential candidates for the Democrats. And by handle, I mean, you know, they hijack the agenda.
She's running interference big time.
And then Ocasio-Cortez and her crew are going off in a different direction. And so what do the Democrats stand for right now? It's hard to really know as it relates to the House. And so Ocasio-Cortez is bumping heads with a lot of people on the Democrat side, because people like Dianne Feinstein know that it's not achievable. Others wonder why you're even trying to do it at all. But this presents a problem for the Democrats. It's interesting the way you characterized that the media loves to give her the attention. That's not good for the Democrat Party. And because now Ocasio-Cortez has forced people like Kamala Harris, to sign on to that agenda and move the party far left. It's going to be interesting to see. And of course, we know that the Democrat primaries are 11 months away, and the debates are only 3 months away. We know that she's forcing them to go to the left, and this presents a high-risk strategy, because if they go too far to the left, they're going to reelect Trump.
Before we talk about this latest headline of Ocasio-Cortez saying something that makes it seem like she wants to outlaw people having children, what are some of the tenets of the Green Deal? I know she wants to she doesn't want us to fly, train, or anything, and wants to get rid of cows. Is there anything in that Green Deal that seems reasonable?
Well, of course not, because I have a different perspective on this, and I'm not alone in this. Look, their theory is that global climate change is caused by man, That's very disputable in the sense that even the basic premise that things are heating up now is complete. They haven't been heating up for a while. In fact, they're going in reverse. We're cooling.
Very. And I'm just going to stop, Tom, and say a lot of scientists agree with you. You can't believe everything the mainstream media tells our audience, because they're not going to tell you what all the scientists say. And the founder of the Weather Channel, John Coleman, he passed away a couple years ago. He was one of the biggest people that came forward and said, this is just this climate change thing. This global warming is a hoax. And isn't it interesting? They did used to call it global warming, but now they've pared it down to climate change.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a lot of people who don't buy into that. But the other issue is that right below the level of fossil fuels call this is cause global climate change, there is the issue of fossil fuels and pollution. Well, we're all for less pollution, but high regulation doesn't really affect that. And maybe we can talk about that after the break.
I know. Look, you're hearing the music. You're good on that. But you're right. We're hardly one of the biggest aggressors around the world. So Tom DelVaccaro, PoliticalVanguard.com, author of The Divided Air, we're going to have you right back and talk more about the Green Deal and more. Now you're walking down. Tom DelVaccaro is the author of The Divided Era, the latest of his little cadre of books. And he is a contributor to Fox Business, Forbes, and is he's the guy behind PoliticalVanguard.com. And he's also very active on social media, if you would follow him there. Tom, what do you have coming out tomorrow? Or do we need to finish up about the green thing?
Yeah,
or do you want to talk about, you have something coming out in Fox Business tomorrow, right?
I do, but headed back to Ocasio-Cortez, the simple thing to do is to think that you increase the impact of regulations and that will solve problems. That often doesn't. It creates a reverse or a perverse incentive to go around them and or to offshore, and that's really the big issue here. A lot of American manufacturers are wind up in India and China that has lax regulations, and therefore global pollution in the short term actually goes up. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, Americans' regulations are a 9 when it comes to certain activities, and in India there are 3. If you drive the business to India, then of course worldwide pollution increases. The secondary effect, and the economists talk about secondary effect or collateral effect all the time, is to delay or reduce the demand in America for more clean energy burning machines or the like, right? Mm-hmm. And so that industry is smaller than it should be. America doesn't become the leader in it. We lose those jobs. And in the future, we can't export that machinery abroad, so that worldwide pollution is reduced long term. So excessive regulations tend to increase the problem when it comes to pollution in the short run and increase it substantially in the long run, because it delays the incentives to create clean energy manufacturing and the like. So this is typical of the left. We'll just regulate it here and not realize the collateral effects of it all.
And we'll get rid of the cows after 5,000 years of, you know, Ocasio-Cortez and Cory Booker are saying, down with the cows, don't eat hamburgers all the time. I mean, I saw Ocasio-Cortez on a radio show last week, and the guys were laughing at her, right to her face, about down with the hamburgers, right?
It seems unlikely to me that farmland is the source of world problems. It doesn't immediately occur to me that we need to get rid of farmers. And look, in California, they're serious about it. They think farmers pollute the land, and so they want to drive it out of California. The secondary effect to that is that we import more food from Mexico and China, which use far worse pollutants than farmers ever dream of here. And it endangers our food supply, it costs us jobs, all the like. So once again, overregulation produces a problem. As far as Fox Business, you know, these things that you hear, and I have a new op-ed coming out of Fox Business early in the morning tomorrow, California time for sure, around 4:30. I don't know why people are surprised that this woman or the millennials like socialism. And the worst part of that is you're actually paying for the reason they do.
Because they don't know that when you go to a mousetrap and you grab the cheese, you don't know what the other end of it is, that there's a price for grabbing that cheese. They don't know
there
that
is.
Yet.
But we pay for it. It's public schools that are doing this. If you public schools don't teach history, so they'll never know what it's like, what world history and socialism has done around the globe. What they hear in public schools is we all should be equal. And, you know, that's very enticing. We shouldn't, you know, from a discrimination point of view, we should, you know, I don't discriminate. I hope few others do. But that's all they hear. In socialism, though, it looks like you should be equal. Well, that sounds interesting. There should be level playing fields. The problem is, historically, that has meant that has come at the end of the barrel of a gun and force, like in Venezuela, where he currently has a police force killing dissidents. And so, but they don't get that in school because they don't get any history in school. And then one step farther than that, only 16% of the children in America get through high school with the requirement of taking a single finance class. In California, that requirement is 0%. In New York, it's a whopping 1% of students.
Well, that makes sense when you see it when they graduate to government in California.
And have all the student loan debt because they don't understand personal finance.
Right. And it's America's fault and Trump's fault. And Bernie's going to save us. Just real quick to Ocasio-Cortez, another way to save the planet. And I thought people have been procreating for 5,000 years or so since the beginning of time in the Bible. But she says maybe they shouldn't reproduce due to climate change.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin with this, but this is the mentality. And by the way, she suggested that, and the communist socialists of China did something horrific about it, for not just under Mao, but right, all the way through, and forcing the abortions of women who are having female babies. Anybody who goes down this path it could not be more ignorant.
So bad. She said that people should consider not having children due to climate change because there's a scientific consensus that life will be hard for kids. So,
and let me, in China, they said that you shouldn't have these children for the good of the state.
Good of the state. Well, again, people need to read your book and pay attention to history a little bit. What you didn't learn in school, try to find out on your own. Go ahead.
Every assumption of power in history is always accompanied by the reason we need to do this is for the good of all people. And so she's soft pedaling it, but she doesn't even I bet she doesn't even understand that historical dynamic. Hitler didn't go to people and said, give me your power. Hitler went to people and said, there are other people trying to hurt you. I'm here to protect you. So give me your guns, give me your power, and I'll be your protector. And then what happens to the person when they get so headstrong about everything that they are, they begin to tell people, now I'm going to tell you what's best for you. That's history. It's old. It's human nature. It happens time and again. It was happening much less when democracy and capitalism was flourishing. It will happen much more if socialism arrives on our doorsteps.
She is very convinced of her own wisdom, which is the epitome of sophomoric. Will she grow out of it? I don't know. People get into politics and their ego just grows. I have less than a minute to ask you about Kamala Harris.
Okay, she's not going to grow out of it. And what really matters is the fact that all of our college students and high school students, you're paying taxes so that they learn more of it. Kamala Harris I've never seen anything like this in American political history. Her father just ripped into her, saying her parents and grandparents are rolling over their graves. But I still think she's in the top four in Iowa in January.
Yeah, she was being all cool about her pot smoking. Tom, and I know you've debated her, and I asked you last week whether you smelled it on her during the debate because she claimed that she was doing it back in the when she was prosecuting people. So much more to do. We're always short on time with Tom, but we appreciate it, and we'll see you next time, and we'll look for your profile tomorrow. Hey, thank you for being with us tonight for America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Hope you will find us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. You can click around there and see all of our programming. Find out how to watch us on demand, on Roku, all these good things. Click through to headlines, see, oh yeah, Small Town Big Deal, The Daily Buzz, you have The Big Biz Show, Macabre Theater, and then click through and find us on social media. Would you? We have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and we would love to be your friend. Hey, finally tonight, quite a trailer, a movie trailer to show you that's coming out. Controversy attached to it. Unplanned is the name of it. It's a true story of someone you might have heard of named Abby Johnson. She went through such a journey, a transformation. She was one of the youngest Planned Parenthood clinic directors in the nation. And she will tell you she was involved into some 22,000 abortions. She was even a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood and fought for legislation. But something changed. Something came upon her one day. It changed everything, and it led her to join her former enemies at 40 Days for Life and become one of the most ardent pro-life speakers in America. So now, this movie that's coming out in a few days, Unplanned, has received an R rating from the Motion Picture Association of America because they said there are disturbing images. There's no nudity, foul language, or gun violence or sex, but they're holding this back from a few. But the trailer tells a little bit of the journey of Abby, and we wanted to share it with you as we say goodbye for now from America Trends.
Abby Johnson is in the other room.
Here.
Our first order of business is to present Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award. Abby Johnson.
There's a fire inside, you can feel. This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort. Abby, this is Cheryl D'Alessandro.
I'd be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
You'll actually be in charge of the abortions at your clinic.
I have a chance to make a real difference.
No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you're still gonna be a baby killer.
The only thing that's changed is you, Abby. Can you even hear yourself talk right now about these procedures? These are little babies.
I'm not going to apologize for doing a job that helps women in crisis.
There's still a part of me that isn't sure.
I know. But the one thing that all experts agree on is that at this stage, the fetus can't feel anything.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
I saw it. It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
We commend the souls of these hundreds of children. And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
You can say that. You're making a
mess. You can do it.
It's your dad and me. You are our baby from the moment of conception.
We are paying you to be a perfect instrument of corporate policy. We are an abortion provider.
I can't be a part of this anymore. Everything that they told us is a lie.
Don't underestimate the repercussions of this. You gotta be careful.
Rhonda, please, don't do this! Rhonda!
Let me tell you what's gonna happen if you walk through that door.
Congratulations, you've made an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.